Welcome everyone to episode 39 of The Williams Project. On today's episode, we're going to be running a test case for how would you start a business from scratch with something that you want to do. So guys, welcome back. As I said, today's episode, we're going to be running some role playing between Matthew and myself. We're going to be talking about...
Blair's actually dressed as a girl for this occasion.
Girl.
Girl.
So we're going to be talking about how would you start a business, and I haven't told Matthew what the business I'm going to propose is. Matt's going to be pretending to be this passionate young individual that wants to start this business. We're just going to walk through what the steps would be. So
I just have one rule before you start throwing me the proxy. I want the person... to be working somewhere,
yeah,
and wanting to do something they're passionate about.
Yep.
That's my terms and conditions. So they have to have some existing occupation and then want to do something, and then I'll take it from there.
Yep.
I'll throw the ball
okay.
Right down the court.
Okay. So I'm currently in university. I've just finished and I was studying interior design. I might have actually been at Polytech, not university.
Yep.
And I currently work at Warehouse Stationery. And people are always coming and buying furniture for their new offices, desks and chairs and like pot plants and decorations. And I'm always on the road as a sales rep, and I quite often go into these offices and I just really hate the way they've fitted them out.
Yeah.
One, I think they're buying the wrong product. Two, I don't think they're good enough at sort of asking for savings and really doing their office justice. And I think I could make a really successful business where I go into these new office buildings, either partner with the landlord or the tenant, design a concept plan, price it up and install it. One, I'll save them money, and two, I'll give them a better outcome. And I think I could then leverage my buying power to get better prices for everyone involved and make a good margin on the way through.
Awesome.
Where should I start?
What's your name?
Bruce.
Bruce. Right,
dressed
Bruce.
Dressed as a woman.
There's a reality in life that most of us have financial commitments and most of us can't just walk away from a job. Right? So the first thing you need to ascertain is how you're going to pay your current bills. Now, if you had money aside for, say, 6 months, I would quit my job and give it a go. But let's say you don't and you need to stay where you currently are. The first thing you need to do is you need to meet with your employer and you need to discuss the concept of you doing something on the side and get approval. Because the last thing you want to be doing is doing something where your boss thinks it's deceitful, all of a sudden you're in court and there's problems. So the first part is, if you're going to stay at your job, be honest and open and transparent about what you're about to do, and 90% of bosses will respect you and let you do what you want in the weekend.
I've actually got some money saved up, so I'm quite confident if I was to quit my job, I've got at least 6 months. I've actually saved up $50,000 because I've been wanting to do this for a while.
Awesome. Perfect. So next step is you want to try and find out if there's a market for your product without spending any money, right? And the internet's absolutely amazing at this. You can find designs of offices that would be similar to your taste. You can source where they got their products and work out how much it's going to cost. And you can put that out to the marketplace for free on social media, on YouTube. You can make a website for free through all sorts of platforms. You can design your whole business idea for free and put it out to the market, send it to people, and see if there's a customer. Because quite commonly, people build a business around something where no one wants to buy it. So before you buy any furniture, before you incur any costs, mock up what you're doing, send it to the market and get feedback. Now, you should never be scared of hitting family, friends, associates, everyone who's close to you and loves you. You should be hitting them for business. Mum, your office, can I talk to your boss? Cousin James, I know that you have a wee business. Can I come in and do an appraisal for you? My best friend from school, can you get me a meeting with your boss so I can talk to him about office furniture? Hit your power base, the people who are close to you and the people who love you, because if you can't talk to them about your business idea and they're not going to help you, who is? Right?
Yep.
It's important to hit those people first. They might kick you in the teeth. Your parents might be dicks about it. Your friends might want to keep you down at a low level. That's fine, right? But I'll definitely ask them first.
So you're saying step one's really validate my market. So I just want to have a bit of a landing page and then be able to call some businesses, talk to my family and friends and just see if there's interest in me actually looking at redesigning and pricing up their office fit out.
Correct. You want someone to say, I'm interested, right? Then you want to go to the next stage, which is working out what your product is worth. So then you would check out what competitors are worth, check what you can buy things for. Now, my piece of advice in this pricing stage is do not be the cheapest. Being the cheapest is a losing battle. Now, when you start, will you need to give up some margin? Absolutely. Do you give your first 20 customers show home discount? Sure, whatever, right? But do not build a business around being the cheapest, because there's just so many of those businesses that fail. You need a margin to protect everyone. It protects you, it protects your employees, it protects your customer. Like if you've got no margin and you've just put a new sofa in an office and the leg falls off and the supplier who sold you the sofa's gone broke, who pays for that? Right? And the answer is you need margin to trade through those inconveniences. What happens when you're trying to carry the set of stairs up the sofa up a set of stairs and you drop and it falls out a window? Who pays for that? So you need margin to be able to run your business.
So I've got 3 meetings booked next week. They're all new buildings that want a new office because their fit out's just been finished. How would you approach the meeting? What sort of time frame should I try to turn around my price in? And roughly, what other information should I do to enhance my chances of winning that contract?
If it was me, and lots of people would disagree with this, if it was me, I would have my catalogue in the meeting with all of the items that I think the customer would like highlighted. I would have a quote that I could do in the meeting, and I would actually sit down with the customer, work out what they want, tick the items on the quote, write them out on the docket, give them their discount, say, because you're my first customer, I'm going to give you a 15% show home discount, and I would ask for them to sign straight there and then.
What if their objection was, hey, I love what you've put together, it looks really good, I'm happy with the price, it's sort of about what I was wanting to spend, I'm just a little bit concerned you don't have any other examples I can go and see of work you've done. I've got no problem supporting someone new in the industry, but I really want to be able to see what I'm about to buy or talk to one of your other clients.
I completely understand that. If I was in your case, I'd be thinking exactly the same. I can talk to my suppliers and you don't need to pay until 10 days after it's been delivered into your office. So I'll actually set everything up for you. You can walk past, you can look at it, you can make sure you're happy. And once you've confirmed you're happy, you can pay. And that's for me making up for the fact that I don't have a show home, but I'd really appreciate your business. You've been absolutely fantastic to deal with and you're the kind of person I want to do business with.
How could anyone say no to that pitch?
But you know what I mean? Like there's, you could then call your suppliers and you could say, look, I'm going to be a massive client one day, but today I need a 15-day delay on payment. I've got to take it to the customer's office, set it up before he pays. You know what I mean? It's problem solving. It's doable. All the problems you have are doable, right? So then what happens is you've traded with a margin. Now, probably the furniture business probably has massive
margins. It's probably massive. It's like 50%.
50% markup, 25% overhead, 25% net profit, probably. Yep. So, all right. So you've now got a rudimental website. You've got a product. You've got a brochure. You've got a supply chain. You've got some sort of credit system in place. Now, what you need to do, you need to sell yourself and call lots of businesses, asking them for business. And while you're going through this process, you've got to write down what you're doing, how you're doing it, and what works. Because that is going to be the most important part of your business, because one day you're going to hand that over to a salesperson, then a sales team, and that's what's going to make you successful is what your sales system is. So you need a CRM, you need a marketing system, you need a process, and you need to be ready. Your first employee you employ should be a salesperson.
And what sort of, how do I do my bookkeeping and how much money should I really be trying to make in my first year or two?
I think the way you should do your bookkeeping is there's some amazing online systems that you can pretty much do yourself. You can download Xero, which is an online accounting system. You can do all of the stuff yourself and just give it to an accountant at the end of the year. Like, that's what you and I did for the first like 6 years of business, right? How much should you be aiming to make? Now, the average, it changes across industries, but an average rule of thumb would be that a business would trade and they would put on, say, a 35% markup. So let's say they bought a product for $100, they would sell it for $135. They would then have about $10 of operating costs, so an overhead, and then they would have $15 of profit. $25 of profit. That would be, I think that would be an average trading margin for most businesses you see.
Well, it's good to know, because I feel like the average office fit out's about $40,000. So then based on that, I'd be making about $10,000 each office fit out I do. And I think I can do about one a fortnight.
Easy. Well, even, but then what you've got to think is you were working at Warehouse Stationery and you were earning $50,000 a year. So you only need to do 5 office fit outs a year to be in the same position as you were at Warehouse Stationery. So if you do 6 Warehouse fit outs a year, you've now had a 20% pay rise, 7, 8, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's very easy. Well, it's not easy, it's ridiculously hard, but if you work hard, you follow your systems, you do something you're passionate about, you will win.
And what would you say in summary would be my, say, 3 main risks of doing this business idea, or things that you'd say, hey, it might seem easy, but this might catch you out, or?
Sales, number one risk. If you're not getting sales, you're going to fail. Second risk would be discipline of operation. Most people do not have the discipline to run a business properly, putting their GST aside, putting their tax aside, making sure they do exactly what they told their customer they're going to do. And third would be just getting distracted. And because you've made $100,000 in the last 6 months, you now think, oh, I'm doing so well in my furniture company, I'm now going to make a computer company as well, and I'm going to do furniture and computers. And now all of a sudden you're splitting your attention and you're competing against someone out there who lives and dreams computers, and all they think about is computers, and they're going to kick your teeth in.
It's good.
There is the rare case when someone wins on a side hustle like Uber, but it's rare. The majority of cases...
Like you said, you're competing against someone who that's their full-time job, so it's very naive to think you can compete with them part-time with little to no experience and less time in the game.
And not the capital either.
Yeah, but I think that's a really good point Matthew made, is just sales your number one driver, and that comes from getting extremely uncomfortable, picking up a phone book or Googling offices and just calling them. Hey, it's Bruce here. I'm an interior design staging company for new office fit outs. I see you're about to move into your new premise. I'd love to buy you a coffee and explain to you what I can offer you for your new office.
Easy. Like, and there's so many books about how to sell. There's no reason why you can't teach yourself how to be an amazing salesperson.
But I think that's just a really crucial point. You can have the websites, the ads, the accountant, your own office, your professional indemnity insurance, your public liability insurance, your nice accountant you go and visit for coffees, your lawyer you go hang out with and sign docs with. But unless you're actually calling people and booking meetings to pitch your product, the business won't get off the ground.
You're doing what Blair and I call playing business.
Yeah,
you're
the whole
playing.
Starbucks with my MacBook.
Look at my business cards. Oh, look at my new website. You're playing business. Business is when you get a contract.
Yeah, and don't get me like, we played business for a while. You have a business card, you have a website, you sort of muck around for half the day, three quarters of the day, but it all changes when you actually start focusing on who are my clients, how do I go get in front of them, how do I sell my product to them, because I know I have a good product and a good service at a fair price.
So guys, as you know what I'm going to say, you can hear it coming. There is a payment for this podcast. If you loved this content, share it with one like-minded friend. We appreciate you so much. You're rock stars. Let us know if this has helped you with your business. Have an amazing day.